Hello, you have tuned into ET Markets Investor's Guide, a show about asset classes, investment ideas, and market trends. I'm Nikhil Agarwal. Before picking a stock, investors usually look at how the business is growing, the quality of the management and its execution capabilities, as well as the probability of getting good returns as a minority shareholder. But in the last few years, a new trend has emerged wherein investors also study the company's non-financial performance under environmental, social, and governance norms, also known as ESG. Ask anyone why an FMCG stock like ITC is still trading at a PE multiple of less than 22, and the discussion would lead to how institutions are avoiding the stock for its tobacco business. In today's special podcast with independent market expert Rajit Nagpal, we discuss whether you too should start considering ESG norms while picking a stock. Listen in. Welcome to the show, Mr. Nagpal.
Do you think ESG investing is just a fad, or is it a structural theme that is going to stick around for several years, if not decades?
Nikhil, I think it's a structural change in the whole thought process. I think it's going to be, it has got started late. It started in parts, probably even more than a decade back, but it was at that point of time, was not very popular. But now in a socially connected world, the things move much faster, the information democracy is much higher. And I think it's going to stay, and rightly so it should stay. Because if you look at, you know, some of the businesses which, you know, just in the pure pursuit of the profit, they have been ignoring tons and tons of things, especially related to the climate and what the impact the business has on the overall society. And so those businesses need either to change. And the another thing which I've realized is that, you know, I read about a fund which had generated extra return of around 4% as compared to other funds which did not follow it. And over a consistent period of time, it was a fund which the fund manager did not knew that he was following the ESG kind of this thing. But largely his companies were based on these models only. And when the back test was done, it was figured out that it extra 4% is coming because of these principles only. And it's going to stay. Because if you look at recent developments, I think a large number of corporations are changing their whole business strategy in order to ensure that they don't rank poorly on the ESG matrix. Look at the time. I think it actually got more visibility after 2016 and 2017 was the time when most of... And since that time, if you look at it, all the tobacco companies globally have been hammered. Whether it's Philip Morris, Bat, ITC, Imperial Brands, everything. And it's the biggest headwind is the ESG headwinds which they have. So, and it is going to stay. And even some of the companies like which are into thermal energy and all, they have been, if a large fund is not going to buy, if a large institutional investor is not going to buy, if they are not going to be part of, you know, let's say, a large MSA index or an ETF, then the promoters are bound to figure out that, you know, the other guy is going to get a price earning multiple of 20 and I'm going to get a PE of 10. So he'll have to rethink because it affects evaluations. I mean, I'll go to the extent, I think probably, you know, some of the largest corporations who are now talking about getting into clean energy, hydrocarbon, one of the factors which might have gone into their thought process is that if they don't change the line of the business or don't add clean energy to the existing line of business, then they can never claim that they will become carbon neutral. And if they don't claim and if they don't move towards that path, their overall valuation is going to come down over a period of time. So it's a sustainable thing, surely. More sustainable would be till the time it's, you know, right now because it's not easy to do it and it's generating that extra bit of return, it's even more popular. So it's a structural thing, while the extreme popularity might, you know, over a period of time will come down.
So if smart money is moving towards ESG, shouldn't retail investors to start taking it seriously? Should ESG score be a part of the checklist before buying a stock for the long term?
Well, I think not many retail investors have actually understood the concept of, you know, this. Now, the fact is, if you are a good you know, have a... There are two problems. Let me take the problem first. The fact is, whose ESG score are you going to believe? See, there is no one ESG score.
Right.
Different, some of the media companies have their own Some of the database companies have started their own scores. The fact is that if I was to look at take an example of IT companies. Mm-hmm. Now, IT companies, most of them are going to perform good on the ESG scores are going to be high.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not creating pollution. And mm-hmm. governance is the reason, most of them, especially in the large Indian IT company, has been proven. They have now the proven track record of more than 2 decades. You don't have to doubt their governance standard. So it's for, just because for a retail investor, it's very difficult to understand that if I'm buying an IT stock, which is a better IT stock if I was to include ESG score. So, and whose ESG scores? I looked into details of some of the methodology which is used. I saw one of the ESG scores, which is getting very popular, says banks should have, used some innovation and they have used some innovation in the financial product. But if I was to go by strictly by ESG, I would say, what kind of priority sector lending they are doing should be one of the criteria for judging a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a small bank, a small finance bank is making a huge impact on the social thing.
Mm-hmm.
With the same kind of this thing. And environment, I don't know if they're opening more branches, is going to use more electricity consumption, all these parameters there. So over a period of time, I think over next couple of years, we will find which is a better ESG score, which is a better rating agency, not rating agency per se, but whose ESG score is more reliable and more relevant. Now, to a bank, how do you figure it out, that ESG score matters to this bank? If the there is a bank or a NBFC where the credit growth, their quality of the portfolio is extremely good, but on some parameter they don't require much change, on ESG, because of some reason their score is 7, as compared to someone who has a 9, so shouldn't I buy that? So these things, this concept is likely to evolve. We will achieve certain standardization and acceptance globally, and then things will happen. So retail investor probably has hardly any data point to understand. That is why they not. And for to be very honest, their thought process is, boss, mera paisa kaise banega?
Mm-hmm.
The very, very few people who would say, they might all claim, I'm going to invest, keep a stock for 10 years or 15 years. How many of them actually do keep it?
Mm-hmm.
And one reason is that you never know the kind of risk a business faces these days. You don't even know 10 years down the line the business would be there or not.
Mm-hmm.
How do you evaluate a company on ESG parameters? You tell me, so if you were to evaluate an FMCG company, how would you rate it? Or how would you, if you were to rate the ESG scores of a company which is selling junk food, how would you, on what parameters would you rate, McDonald's in US or in India, a Westlife or a Burger King, or on these parameters? For that matter, Domino, Jubilant Food Works.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they are essentially selling is not something which is very healthy food. So should I include that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's going to be some report which said probably we will have labels of junk food very soon in India also. Let's see how that pans out. So, because it's an evolving, and especially in emerging markets, it's going to be very different from other markets.
So, overall, isn't ESG investing still a niche in India? How much of importance do you think domestic institutional investors are giving to such norms?
I think you're right, when you say it's a niche, because, we don't have that number of, we have large number of companies listed in India.
Mm-hmm.
But out of that, if you look at the very less than few hundred, which are investable companies, where you can, find, figure out, as this G part is governance is concerned, probably we're missing on, majority of Indian companies miss on that.
Mm.
You can't believe in the, what they're saying, where the debt is hidden, how it happened. And again, coming back to the point, we are an emerging economy. So we will have commodity companies. We will be bound to have commodity companies. We will have some other sectors which probably to global investor may not appear to be as good as they would like to see them. At this point of time, the same problems are faced by the domestic institutional investors. Now, what they do, I mean, if let's say a commodity company is doing well, the commodity prices are moving up, but that commodity company, everyone knows, has issues as far as the mining policies are concerned. Their plants have been shut down because of pollution. So what does the fund manager do? Either he says, oh, this is an ESG, this thing, I'm not going to touch it. Or if he doesn't touch it, then his fund is going to underperform. I think we haven't seen very many ESG specific things from the mutual fund space because they also know that there are limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm sure if there were not many limitations, we would have every fund house come out with at least one scheme stating ESG blah. Yeah. So there is an issue as an economy, and even that whether it's a retail investor or it's a domestic institutional investor, they will have to kind of live with it, and they will have to buy stocks where they according to ESG parameters they probably may not. And see, out of this, as far as G governance part is concerned, I think that is inbuilt for the institutional investor. They have to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you pay them expense ratio for ensuring that they don't commit the same mistake which a normal investor does. As far as E and S part is concerned, that is a debatable and a very subjective thing. But G part, which is the governance in terms of being fair to the minority shareholders, in terms of being transparent and not fudging and not doing anything wrong with related party transaction, that part is always taken care by a right-minded domestic investor. Even for retail investors, I think they should start focusing more on G, and E and S probably in India will take a long time to come, but G is the bedrock of investing.
So now let's also talk about returns. So if a stock is rated, let's say, for example, very high on ESG parameters and the business is also growing well, is the stock likely to outperform?
There is a high probability that it will outperform. See, Nikhil, what happens, there are some technical reasons why some stocks, tend to outperform for a period of time. Let's suppose there is a global fund which or an ETF which decides to invest in the kind of company you said, high growth and high on ESG parameters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a very high probability that the capital requirement of that company are going to be limited. It's not going to go to again to market to raise capital.
Mm-hmm.
The maximum amount of requirement at a constant constant level is from the financial services in the banking sector.
Mm-hmm.
You see that they require capital, their floating stock in the market continues to increase after a point of time, because as they grow they require that. But if let's say there is another company which is doing well but is from a sector which has high growth and does not require capital and gets into a, let's say, a ETF.
Mm-hmm.
The automatic flow into that ETF is going to ensure that the floating stocks keep getting absorbed irrespective of the price and valuation which is getting, and it will outperform.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, there is a very high probability that if both the condition which you have said, it has either is already outperforming, and if it is not, then surely once that ESG things come into place, it will outperform. So it's not something, Nikhil, which you can ignore. And especially the governance part of it. And that is where I think once global investing become easier from India, which probably in another couple of months, it should become easier. I think that is where these concepts and all will start to catch up in India and people will start looking at them. And some sectors are going to be, some sectors are going to get huge amount of benefit out of it.
Thank you, Mr. Nagpal. That's all in today's special podcast. But do keep checking this space for more such interesting content. Goodbye.